America Weekend.
Roland Smith here, along with my good friend Carl Sabatino, and this is Smith Sabatino. And what you might not know is that Carl likes to leave certain sections of this program where we don't know what we're talking about. Now, that doesn't mean we don't know what we're talking about. No, it does mean we don't know what we're talking about in any section.
The old question, the old answer is, I ain't got a clue.
Right. But you do like to things leave things open so that we
sometimes
can just,
yes.
You know,
to ponder the
see
moment.
Whatever comes
yes.
into our mind.
Sometimes you have to leave it open as my...
Now, during the commercial,
yes.
you were mentioning a job that you once had.
Yes.
And you want to repeat? Can you repeat some of that?
I was working... for Dinah Shore, and when she was doing a show in the 70s. And it got to be one of those afternoons, we were taping the show, and it got to be one of those afternoons when none of the guests showed up. And it happens occasionally, none of the guests showed up. And we were taping the show, and she said, you have a suit on.
Pointing to you.
But to me, you have a suit on. And she knew I was. Get over here, sit down. We were in Hollywood at the time. That's where she did the show from. And she says, do you have anything to say? And the only thing that came to my head was, I ain't got a clue. I got nothing here.
But, you know, that's you're trying to be humorous, obviously.
But that's what I said. I really didn't have anything to say. But she caught me off guard. She wanted that. She was very good at that. She wanted to catch you. She always liked getting her guests off guard.
Most of the guests that I have found that you pick up man on the street kind of interviews,
yes.
some of them are the most fascinating people you will ever meet in your entire life, and you wouldn't know about them unless you said, well, come here and talk to me for
talk to me. And that's exactly what she was asking me to do, but I got it about 20 seconds into that when I said, I don't have a clue here. Why am I sitting down on this chair? And she was persistent because she wanted to know about the media end of the business. What goes on behind the scenes?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was on. But she grabbed me and said, sit down. We're on. Go. And the lights went on. I saw the camera red light go on and blink. Off she went.
But see, that's the mark of a good performer and a good producer.
Yes. Excellent.
You know.
And
don't worry about the schedule. Let it be what it is. And share it with people in an honest fashion.
And she did. And she was one of the very best at it. She never got the accolade she should have gotten for being a television interviewer. All she wanted to do was just talk to you. And we talked for a good 20 minutes. We just carried on.
You know, I had the pleasure of talking with her one time. She was in a golf tournament that I was playing in. And she was riding with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the golf tournament. There were many in the past.
There are many of them now.
I just don't remember.
Yes, of course.
But I had we were waiting on one tee one time to tee off, and I just had a short conversation with her. She was as natural as would be a next door neighbor.
And she expected me, I got it after 20 seconds, to be exactly that. Let's have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And we did. I don't remember specifically what I said. It had been my first time, by the way, on national television. She just stuck me on the camera and said, here you go. And I said, I don't have anything to say here. What am I here? But we talked about the media business,
mm-hmm.
and she extracted from me the things she wanted me to say. But I felt so comfortable. 5 minutes into it, I didn't even see the camera anymore. I was just talking.
What people don't really realize is how interesting behind the scenes is compared to the show.
Which is exactly what she was trying to get.
Yeah.
She was trying to get that point out of me, and it took me a couple of minutes to realize that and to give her the track, if you will. But I was a sales guy. I was a marketing guy. That was my job. And she says, come here, you sit down. You're on the air. Hello, here I am. I got nothing here. But she made me so comfortable. She is so engaging that let's have a cup of coffee. And she did, by the way. I got a cup of coffee out of this whole event,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking, and it was like a coffee clutch. And I felt she understood, and she was smart. Dinah Shore was so smart. She grabbed it. She knew our business. She knew our business very, very well.
See the USA in your Chevrolet.
In your Chevrolet. And
remember
by
that?
The way, she was a wonderful brand marketer.
Oh, boy.
She could market, and she knew how to do it. Today, if she was still with us, it would be someone like Howard Stern, whether we agree with him or not. The man knows how to market himself. He knows how to play the marketing game.
I know some stories about Howard. I'm not
good.
So sure I want to tell those. I mean, I don't think we have enough time. And Howard.
So do I.
You know?
Howard
has a a prurient part of his personality that of which I don't appreciate.
Neither do I.
But I do understand and appreciate the way he does market.
He knows how.
And he's also a good broadcaster.
He's a good broadcaster, but a better marketer. He's an absolute genius. In my opinion, he's an absolute genius at marketing.
He used to say things when my kids were going to high school about what I did the night before with my partner on the air, Michelle Marsh.
Uh-huh.
And the kids would come home and say, "Dad, did you hear what Howard Stern said?" And I'd say, "No, I didn't, because I didn't listen." But, you know, sometimes it wasn't as nice as I would have hoped it to be.
But it was always strictly Howard, and he was marketing every step of the way. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. We're marketing. We're back.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Debbie is out of a job and living hand to mouth. One day, she was so hungry, she fished the coins out of a fountain down by the courthouse. She was arrested for petty theft with $2.87 in her pocket. Debbie thought the fountain coins didn't belong to anybody, so she wasn't really stealing. Is that a legitimate legal defense? The final verdict after this.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Dial 877-219-8780. That's 877-219-8780.
For theft, the perpetrator must intend to take someone's property. Debbie truly believed the coins didn't belong to anybody, so without intent, there is no crime. And that's the final verdict.
Think green. Harrison with you. Did you know over 90% of American households use paper towels? What does that mean? Turns out over 3,000 tons of paper towels go into the trash every day. 3,000 tons of anything heading to landfill daily is amazing enough, but when it's something as airy and light as a paper towel, it's especially hard-hitting. Now add all the other items from your garbage can on top. Funny, we're taught the Great Wall of China is the largest man-made structure in the world. But no more. The largest man-made structure is now a landfill site called Fresh Kills that New York City's been using for 50 years. It's almost 5 square miles in size, and so much garbage was dumped there that at its peak, the dump was 80 feet higher than the Statue of Liberty. Getting rid of paper towels will reduce 4 million cubic feet of landfill and prevent 864,000 trees from being cut down.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.